Graphic Audio presents Mark Dalton, Owner-Operator by Ido Van Belkom. Copyright 2007, Ido Van Belkom. Performed by David Coyne and the Graphic Audio Players. Episode 3, Offloaded.
Mark Dalton watched the last of the skids being unloaded from the trailer he'd been hauling and tried to get his dispatcher on the phone again. He called in as soon as he reached the restaurant supply company in Saskatoon, but the dispatcher, an old-timer named Bud with a surly disposition and a belly produced by the consumption of his namesake, said he needed more time to confirm the next load. So Mark had watched them unload the trailer, glad to see it delivered undamaged and on time. There had been a little trouble in northern Ontario, but after he hit the Manitoba border, it was smooth sailing the rest of the way.
Dispatch.
It's Mark Dalton, Bud.
Yeah?
I'm in Saskatoon waiting for my next load, remember?
Of course I remember. What do you think I've been working on the last hour?
Mark resisted the urge to say something smart. The last time he did, he found himself running back and forth between New Jersey and Toronto for 6 straight weeks.
Well, what you got?
Something special, just for you. Head over to Saskatchewan Place on Thatcher. There's a trade show just finished up there headed for Vancouver.
Mark smiled at the prospect of Vancouver. It was one of his favorite spots in Canada, and he wondered if he'd be able to spend a few days there before taking on the next load.
What's the load?
High-tech electronics. New fancy stuff. A lot of it ain't even on the market yet.
Mark had read something about that show in the Saskatoon Star Phoenix while he'd waited to call Bud back. Apparently, the show hadn't got the kind of turnout they expected. But organizers were confident the Vancouver numbers would be better.
What's the schedule like?
You got until Wednesday to get to BC Place. Plenty of time, even for a guy like you.
Bud's remark wasn't lost on Mark. Mark had earned a reputation for spending time doing stuff other than hauling his load. Like that last little incident outside North Bay.
You know I always deliver.
Yeah, well, one of their regular drivers got called away on a family emergency. They needed somebody fast and reliable. I told him I only had you.
Mark wanted to say something smart back, but figured the cough was punishment enough.
Right. Talk to you on... Yeah, take care of yourself, bud. Jeez.
When Mark arrived at the convention center, they were halfway done loading up the trailer he and his Pete, affectionately known as Motherload, would be hauling to Vancouver. He backed up with the fifth wheel just short of the trailer's nose and hopped out of the cab to take a look at the merchandise he'd be carrying. A gray-haired man in gray pants and a black shirt with the logo of some electronics firm sewn over the left breast approached him. Colorful guy, Mark thought.
You Mark Dalton?
Yeah, I guess that makes you the shipper.
You could say that.
Mark was surprised that it hadn't taken him an hour to find the man in charge the way it usually does in situations like this. The two men watched as another skid of boxes was being lifted into the trailer. It seemed an odd way to ship special electronics, thought Mark. He'd done a few trade shows before, and things were usually all put into crates on wheels, so they could be easily pushed around the trade show floor. Another thing was the particular attention being given to the crates being stored by the barn doors.
You sure that load is even?
Mark didn't want to see an axle weight violation at the first scale he crossed. The shipper just looked at him as if he were asking a dumb question. And for a moment, Mark wondered if this guy was any relation to Bud.
We've been loading her up this way since Montreal and haven't had a problem yet. All the heavy stuff went on first, you know. Stuff like display stands and monitors. Everything that's going on now is all the lightweight, high-tech stuff. Those boxes are light as a feather.
Mark nodded, satisfied this guy knew what he was doing. Once everything was loaded, he hooked up the pigtail and the airlines and jumped into the cab to back it into place. He felt the shift in his seat once the kingpin locked into place. When he jumped down, the shipper was there to greet him, handing him a key.
This is for the big padlock hanging on one of the doors. You know, just in case you need to get into the trailer. I'll be flying ahead into Vancouver to prepare the show floor, and I'll be waiting for you on the loading dock on Wednesday.
Sounds good.
Now, what route do you think you'll be taking?
There was really only one highway to take when you were headed across the prairies.
Number one, all the way to Vancouver.
That's good, good. Here.
What's this?
A coupon for a free night stay at the Budget Motoring Inn outside of Calgary.
Huh.
They're one of the sponsors of the tour. He gave us a whack of these for our drivers and staff.
Well, hey, thanks.
I figure you should be there Monday night. I'll probably check with the front desk then, just to make sure you're on schedule.
Sure, okay.
He'd had a few perks driving special loads, and nothing beat paid accommodations and a private shower. It seemed odd that the shipper would be so concerned about him, since his was probably just one of a half dozen trucks that was hauling the show into Vancouver. But maybe he was hauling some pretty expensive cargo, and it was only right for the man to be concerned.
Here's my cell number in case you run into a problem.
Mark looked at the card. There was a name on it, Bradley J. Proctor, a job title, Special Events Coordinator. There was also a logo on it, the same as the guy's shirt, and a company name, Dynamatics.
That's about it. See you in Vancouver on Wednesday.
See you then.
He walked over to crank up the landing gear and then began his once around the rig. The barn doors were secured. It was a huge lock, the kind that could withstand the impact from a howitzer shell. Somebody would have to be pretty determined or have nuclear-powered bolt cutters to get past that, he thought. Or you could just use a key. Mark fished inside his pocket for the key and tried it. The lock opened with a snap, and Mark locked it up again. No sense driving away with the wrong key. He was once an hour outside Chatham, Ontario, before a call came over his cell to say that a shipper had given him a house key instead of the one for the load. With the rumble of the diesel, he pulled away from the dock. Strange how the shipper seemed particularly skittish about the route that he was taking. What other route would he take? Ah well, he thought, let him be different. Shippers could often be on the eccentric side. But then there was also the free night stay at the Budget Motoring Inn outside of Calgary. Now that was different. Way different. In fact, it was almost too good to be true. Mark came up on the Budget Motoring Inn just east of Calgary early in the evening. It was a modern four-story building with about 100 rooms to it, and a parking lot that seemed to stretch out for kilometers in every direction. He parked his rig as close to the hotel as he could manage, which meant by the outside curb when you drive anything bigger than a Honda, and then pulled his overnight bag from the sleeper and headed for the hotel. When he stopped into the lobby, he had a fear that the woman at the desk might look at his coupon strangely, thinking he was trying to pull a fast one or something. It was a bit of a hand-done affair, the type of job printed from a home computer.
Welcome!
I have a coupon.
But the exact opposite happened. She looked at it and her smile remained unchanged. She set about checking him in.
Sign the register, please.
He signed it and she handed him an envelope containing his room key and some brochures. He was on his way to his room just a few minutes later, one of the fastest check-ins on record. The room seemed to be as far away from the highway as was possible. It was at the far end of the building and overlooked kilometer after kilometer of wide, open spaces. It was a nice room, nice view too. But he would have rather had a room that had a view of his rig. Oh well, he thought. The price of the room sure was right. He set down his bag and was about to slip the room key back into the envelope when he noticed that what he thought were brochures were actually more coupons. He took them out and inspected them. One was for a free dinner at the hotel restaurant, and the other was for free drinks at the bar. Mark let out a sigh and shook his head in disbelief. This was the best load he'd ever carried. He'd gotten some free stuff before, t-shirts and groceries, even a few free meals, but this one took the cake. Maybe there was a catch. He thought about that a while, but couldn't think of one. Maybe it was just the way drivers of show trucks were treated. He made a mental note to see if he could get signed up with a show like this once he reached Vancouver. When he arrived at the restaurant, the royal treatment continued. Although the place was full, he was escorted to a table at the far end of the room, away from the kitchen. He sat down, ordered a draft, and began perusing the menu. And then things got even better. Over the top of the menu, he noticed someone looking in his direction. It was a woman, a very attractive woman, and she was smiling at him rather coyly. Mark put down the menu and returned the smile. Her smile grew brighter, and she gestured for him to join her at her table. Mark got up from his seat without thinking twice and sat down at her table.
Were you going to dine alone?
Yeah, that was the plan.
He looked at her closely, almost inspecting her. She had long blonde hair tied up in a bun, blue eyes, high cheekbones, and full lips that framed a perfect set of teeth. She was dressed in a modest yet flattering gray business suit that did little to hide the fact that she had a body that was every bit as gorgeous as her face. Had this been a truck stop, her friendly nature might have had him wondering if she were a lot lizard, but they rarely worked a room by ordering dinner alone. She also looked a little too classy for that. She wasn't just dressed up like a businesswoman. She seemed to carry herself like one, too.
Well, I'm here by myself, too. It seems a shame for both of us to eat alone when we can just as easily do it together.
Here on business?
Not really. I design office interiors, and I was in Calgary consulting with a client the last 2 days. I'm heading to Regina tomorrow, but I wanted to get out of the city tonight so I could get a head start in the morning.
So you've got no plans for this evening?
Not yet.
Me neither.
They ordered a bottle of wine along with their dinner and they talked throughout. She seemed interested in his adventures on the road, and she made interior office design sound more interesting than Mark would have thought. He was distracted only once during dinner when he glanced out the window of the restaurant and noticed a white and gold rig coming to stop next to his, blocking the view of his trailer. Then a second rig, this one pale blue, parked behind him. It seemed odd that two rigs would park so close to his when there were so many other empty spaces in the mostly empty parking lot.
Am I boring you?
What?
You seem more interested in what's going on outside than what's going on inside.
Oh, no. Sorry, I'm just looking out for my rig.
Is something the matter?
She put her hand over his, sending a tingle moving up his arm.
No, nothing's the matter.
He checked to see if she was wearing a wedding ring, and was glad to see her ring finger was bare.
Good. Now, are you going to invite me back to your room for drinks, or will I have to invite you to mine?
Mark wasn't interested in more drinks since he'd be driving in the morning, but he did want her to join him in his room.
My room's fine.
It seemed to take forever to get to the room. The trek to the far end of the hotel, more like a kilometer than a few dozen meters. He fumbled with the key, but finally got the door open. It swung wide and he stepped aside, signaling her to enter first with a grand sweep of his arm. She made herself comfortable, taking off her pumps and walking about the room in her stocking feet.
Do you have any glasses?
For what?
Wine.
She pulled a bottle of fancy wine from her purse.
I see you came prepared.
I bought it this afternoon. I was going to drink it by myself tonight, but it'll be much more fun sharing.
He could nurse a glass of wine for a few hours. If things went well, and so far there was every indication that they wouldn't be spending all that much time drinking wine anyway. He went to the bathroom, took the covers off a pair of water glasses, and set them on the table.
Would you do the honor?
Sure.
He took the corkscrew, screwed it into the cork, slipped the bottle between his legs, and pulled.
To tonight.
Tonight.
The wine tasted good, and despite his best intentions not to, he took another sip, this time closer to a gulp. They made small talk for a while, and the longer she talked, the harder it was for him to follow what she was saying. She was still talking about office decorating, but he only knew that because he was able to recognize a few words here and there. The rest of what she was saying was gibberish.
Are you all right?
That's some good wine.
She walked around to the far side of the bed and sat down.
Why don't you come here and join me?
Mark got up from his chair and made his way to the bed. His legs felt like rubber, his feet made of cement. She encouraged him to make it the rest of the way by undoing the buttons down the front of her blouse. He made it to the bed, barely, and fell on top of it in a heap.
Whew.
You sure you're all right?
Just a little tired.
As he closed his eyes, he wondered why she was doing the buttons on her blouse back up. And as he spiraled down into what felt was going to be a long, deep sleep, he thought it curious that although they were going to spend the night together, he didn't even know her name. Mark awoke feeling like he'd been hit over the head with a tire iron.
Oh man.
Except the pain was mostly coming from the inside of his skull rather than the outside.
What the?
He had trouble remembering what had happened the night before, but as he lay back on the bed and closed his eyes, bits and pieces of the previous night's events began coming back to him. He'd gone to dinner and met a woman. Yeah, now it was coming back to him. He'd met a woman and she'd come back to his room to spend the night. She'd brought some wine with her. He had a drink, and then he'd fallen asleep. He wondered, no, hoped he had awakened at some point in the night, but that didn't seem likely. He was still lying on top of the bed, on top of the cover, with his clothes still on. He hoped she might be in the bathroom.
Hello?
No answer. He looked over at the clock. It was just after 6 in the morning, time to be going anyway. He sat up on the bed too quickly, and bright spikes of pain flashed behind his eyes. Mark had a feeling it was going to be a long, hard day. He had a quick breakfast, did his circle check, and checked out. No charge, and was on the road before 7. The rig seemed to handle a little different now. Not heavier or lighter, just different. He attributed it to his headache, which had now settled down to a dull throb that would likely be pounding his brain for the rest of the day. He only wished he could say she'd been worth it, but he couldn't remember. When he came up on the weigh scales west of Calgary, he saw the flashing light calling him in to be weighed. He came to a stop on the scale and waited. He expected he would be given the green light, especially since both tractor and trailer looked neat, and electronic goods weren't likely to lead to a gross weight violation. But then the yellow light flashed, and an inspector in the kiosk jabbed his thumb toward the compound for a closer inspection.
Oh, damn it.
This could take an hour by the time they combed over every inch of the rig, even though he knew there was nothing wrong. He pulled to a stop on one of the pads outlined on the asphalt, hopped out of his cab, and waited for the enforcement officer to come out to meet him. The door of his kiosk popped open almost immediately, and the officer strolled across the compound toward him, making some notes on his clipboard.
What's the problem?
You've got an axle weight violation. That's over 1,000 kilos at the rear.
How much?
1,000 kilos.
No way. I've just got some electronics equipment in there, light stuff.
Let's have a look.
Mark fished inside his pocket for the key to the trailer. He found it and unlocked the padlock. He began pulling the doors, and all he could see was the officer shaking his head. Mark secured the door at the side of the trailer.
What is it?
I'm afraid somebody's been jerking your chain. Those don't much look like electronic equipment to me.
Mark came around to the back of the trailer and felt his jaw drop and his stomach turn. While the boxes near the nose of the trailer had been left untouched, the boxes that had been piled up at the back were all gone, and in their place were two sloppy piles of cinder blocks sitting right over the rear axles.
Well, at least it won't be too hard to even out the load.
He handed Mark a tape measure so he could help measure the axles to confirm the spread for his weight category.
Like I thought, move those blocks around some and you should be all right.
Yeah, thanks.
His mind busily recounted the series of events that led up to this point. One by one, he put the smaller pieces together until he was able to get a good look at the big picture. They'd put all of the expensive equipment in boxes at the back of the trailer so they could be easily unloaded by anyone. The shipper had asked him what route he'd be taking, then gave him a coupon for a free night stay at the Budget Motoring Inn to make sure he'd be there last night. The trucks parked around his rig had been there to block his view and to cart away the goods. And if he got suspicious, there was a pretty woman to distract him. And then she drugged him just to make sure that he'd be out all night long and wouldn't feel the urge to take a midnight stroll to go check on his rig. And on top of all that, they'd given him a key so he'd be the first person the cops would like for the job. They couldn't have played him any better than if he had strings. The gate receipts for the Saskatoon show must have been pretty bad. Maybe the numbers for the show had been bad all across the country. So they figured they'd steal the goods, make an insurance claim, and recoup some of what they'd lost on the show. Fine. Except they'd used Mark Dalton as their stooge. Maybe they wouldn't just try to finger him for the theft, but would put in a claim on his insurance policy as well as their own. That would send his premiums through the roof. Mark seethed silently in anger, waiting for the officer to hand him his violation and head back to the kiosk. When he was gone, Mark hopped back into the trailer and began moving the blocks around, cursing at each block as if it were to blame for all his problems. And then one slipped from his fingers and landed squarely on his toes. He didn't know what made him more angry, his sore toe, the shipper and Dynamax for pulling the stunt on him, or himself for falling for it like a stone. No, like a cinder block. Well, they almost got away with it. Almost. When he'd finished rearranging the load about an hour later, he limped back to his cab and went through the scales again, this time getting the green light. Then he pulled over onto the shoulder on the exit to the highway. Next, he got out his cell phone and dialed the number on the card the shipper, Bradley J. Proctor, had given him. There was no answer. He tried again an hour later, still no answer. He tried once more late in the afternoon, and this time got an answer.
Hello?
Bradley J. Proctor?
Yes?
This is Mark Dalton. I'm driving a load for you from Saskatoon to Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. I hope everything's all right.
Well, I do have a problem.
Yes?
I'm at the scales outside of Calgary, and I'm overweight. Hello? Are you still there?
You're overweight?
That's right. I've got a gross weight violation, and I can't get back on the road until I unload some freight.
You're overweight.
Yeah. Are you going to send another trailer to take some of my load? I don't want to be late for Vancouver.
No. No, of course not.
Well, great. I'll be waiting here for the other trailer, okay?
Yeah, fine. I'll send someone right away.
A little confused, eh, Bradley?
He hung the cell phone on his belt and went around to the back of the trailer where he opened up the doors. After taking the time to rearrange the load yet again, he closed up the trailer and locked it. Then he went to the cab, got his jacket, took his Louisville Slugger from its spot behind his seat, and took a walk into the field next to the coop. When he was far enough away to be out of sight, he sat down and waited. The sun had almost set beneath the western horizon, and the scales had been closed for the night, when a pale blue freight liner bobtailed up the ramp and came to a stop in front of Mark's rig. The pale blue color of the liner was unmistakable, the same one he'd seen outside the motel in Calgary. Mark watched patiently from his vantage point in the field next to the weigh scale, squeezing out the cramps that had formed during the over 2 hours he'd been waiting for someone to arrive. The driver of the freight liner got out of his cab and walked back to Mark's Peterbilt. He climbed up to take a look in the cab, and not finding Mark there, rapped his knuckles on the door. Getting no response there, he headed to the rear of the trailer.
Hello? Hello?
Mark could barely hear him, but said nothing. At last, the man stood at the end of the trailer, looking around as if he thought Mark was off somewhere taking a leak and would be back any minute. The man was over 6 feet tall, probably weighing 220, 230. He wore a big cowboy hat on his head and looked pretty scruffy, like a real cowboy. From the way he carried himself, Mark guessed he was probably good in a fight. And since he'd shown up without a trailer, it didn't seem like he was here to help Mark lighten his load any. Mark guessed he might be able to surprise him, maybe even get in a good whack with his bat. But there was no way he'd be able to wrestle or brawl with the man. He was just too big. Mark decided to remain crouched down and hidden by the brush, biding his time. The cowboy thrust a hand in his pocket and looked to be fishing around for something inside it. Was it a key, Mark wondered? Then he fiddled with the lock at the back of the trailer and undid the lock.
So, he has a key too. Sure makes it easier to unload a trailer that way.
Mark stayed where he was, but got ready to move in a hurry. The man opened up the back of the trailer and swung the right door open. From his body language, Mark could tell that he was surprised by what he saw.
What the hell?
Before Mark had locked up the trailer, he had moved the cinder blocks forward and stacked the back of the trailer with pallets from the front so when the door was opened, it would look as if it were stacked front to back and floor to ceiling with electronic equipment. The cowboy stood there, staring up into the trailer in dumbfounded amazement.
Strange, huh? You cleaned it out yesterday and here it is, full again.
The cowboy gave the boxes a slight push to check their weight. Mark was pleased with himself. He had weighed down the bottom three rows with cinder blocks and left the top three empty. Obviously, Cowboy knew something wasn't right here and decided to investigate. Cowboy grabbed hold of the left side of the door and pulled himself up into the back of the trailer. Mark jumped to his feet and bolted from the field, quickly moving across the strip of open ground between the field and the trailer. There was a loud noise from inside the trailer. The man inside had probably given the top boxes a push and had fallen over when they gave way. It was just the break Mark needed. When he got to the trailer, he grabbed the right door and swung it as hard as he could. If it didn't close in time, then at least he might be able to hit the cowboy with the door on his way out. But there was no bang or grunt of pain, and the door made it all the way closed.
Hey, what's going on?
Where's the stuff?
What stuff? What are you talking about?
The stuff that was loaded onto this trailer in Saskatoon. The stuff that's supposed to be on its way to Vancouver.
I was just told you had a weight violation and needed some freight offloaded, that's all.
So where were you supposed to put the freight without a trailer? You weren't at the budget motoring inn last night unloading the freight from my trailer onto yours?
Not me.
Let me just remind you where you are at the moment, partner. I would imagine the inside of this trailer will get pretty hot around about middle of tomorrow. Probably be like a sauna in there. Especially after you relieve yourself at some point in the next day or so.
Someone would cut me out.
Maybe so, if I left you here. But what if I take this trailer to some back road and park it? Maybe someone would pass by in a day or two, maybe not.
You can't do that, man!
Oh, I can do it, and I will too. Unless you start answering my questions. All right, have it your way.
Okay, wait! Wait!
Where's the stuff you took last night?
It's in my trailer, just up the road.
All of it?
All the expensive stuff.
Thanks.
Mark lowered the landing gear, pulled open the lock on the fifth wheel, and began the process of uncoupling the trailer.
Hey, what the hell are you doing?
Don't worry, I'll leave a key and a note for one of the officers. You'll be out of here in the morning.
Bastard!
Yeah, that's just how I feel.
When he was done, he wrote a short note and taped it and the key to the door of the kiosk.
I'll see you around, buddy.
You better hope not.
He started up Motherlode and headed up the road. About 5 kilometers along, he came across the pale blue trailer off on the shoulder. He pulled off, stopped, and backed himself up to the pale blue. A few minutes later, he was hooked up and back on Highway 1 with his load once again trailing behind him. Mark pulled into BC Place late on Wednesday morning. He wanted to be there earlier, but there had been too many things for him to take care of that morning. He was directed to the right loading dock by a security guard and backed up the pale blue trailer up to the dock with little more than a bump. He hopped out of the cab and made his way to the dock. The shipper, Bradley J. Proctor, was waiting for him with a dumbfounded look on his face.
Hi, Brad.
The shipper said nothing. Obviously, he was a little surprised to see Mark there, seeing as he'd sent the cowboy to the weigh scale in Calgary not to lighten his load, but to put out his lights.
Sorry I'm late.
Late?
Well, yeah, it's almost noon, and you said to be here in the morning. I had some trouble at the weigh scales near Calgary, but I called you about that, remember?
What are you doing pulling this trailer?
Why? What's wrong with it?
It's not the trailer we loaded for you in Saskatoon.
You know what, Brad? I think you're right. This one's blue, and the one you gave me was white. But it shouldn't matter too much to you. This is the one that has all the equipment in it.
Bradley was getting angry and motioned to a couple of the men on the loading dock. The men came forward, surrounding Mark on all four sides.
You can wipe that grin off your face, pal, because you're in a big mess of trouble.
Yeah, I know. Trouble seems to follow me wherever I go. But lucky for me, these guys are never too far behind.
Bradley's face turned white. The men surrounding Mark suddenly seemed to be too busy with work that had nothing to do with busting Mark up.
Sorry, Brad. I don't like to be late with my loads, and I really hate being somebody's patsy. It was a pretty good plan, and it would have worked, too. You just gave the load to the wrong guy.
Be sure to look for the next episode of Mark Dalton, Owner Operator. In June, Episode 4 appears in Blood Bond No. 1, Rogue Angel No. 4, Stony Man No. 46, and Destroyer No. 107.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.